Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Total Wine & More announces points with a purpose. Now through September 13th, collect 5x points on wines and spirits. Points earned equals a matching donation to local charities. Up to $2 million in total. Shop with us today or visit TotalWine.com. Terms and conditions apply.
With Bruce Buffer. And now, it's time for the voice of mixed martial arts.
We are live!
It's Bruce Buffer.
Bruce Buffer.
From the shores of Malibu where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China and back to the streets of Lincoln, Nebraska, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We'll talk about it for you. This is No Holds Barred Radio, folks. We have a guest on this week's show, a special guest. We have a lot of news to talk about, varied, good, bad, funny, and different, and it's going to be a great show today. I'm here with my co-host, TJ DeSantis. TJ, you ready for an hour?
The world has changed, and Microsoft Teams is there to help us stay connected. Teams is the safe and secure way to chat, meet, call, and collaborate. To learn more, visit Microsoft.com/Teams.
And let's get it going.
An hour of power, Mr. Buffer.
Hour of power.
Oh,
I like that.
I wasn't ready for the pipes on that one. I know you got a guest coming up. We're going to talk some MMA bobbleheads here in a moment, but before we get there, it is sort of the last few weeks of summer, and might be a good time, Bruce, to sort of remind everyone the perils that may lie in wait if you ever are foolish enough to drink and drive.
Yeah, I'd be happy to touch on that because, you know, personal responsibility is something that everybody should take real note and realize very important to follow. I mean, everybody knows about the risks of driving drunk. You know, think about it. You can get a crash. People get hurt or killed.
You lose your job.
Yeah, you could lose your job, not just that, but your livelihood, your life as you see it. But let's take a moment to look at some surprising statistics. This kind of blew me away. Almost 29 people in the United States die every day in alcohol-impaired vehicle crashes, which is termed drunk driving. If you think about it, TJ, that's one person every 50 minutes. And even though drunk driving fatalities have been reduced and fallen by a third in the last three decades, drunk driving crashes, according to statistics, still claim more than 10,000 lives each year. That's crazy. Now, aside from that and what it can have an effect on as far as your personal well-being and the people around you, God forbid you affect anybody's health with a crash because you were driving drunk, drunk driving can have a big impact on your wallet too. I mean, if you get arrested for a DUI, there's huge legal expenses that you're going to incur.
And that price is way more than just getting a ride home from, you know, a buddy or a taxi or whatever.
Exactly, because there's always alternatives if you know you're not supposed to get behind the wheel.
What I think you're saying is drive sober or get pulled over.
All right, folks. Dave Manley, the owner of MMABobblehead.com. As those of you know that have been reaching my social media, seeing my posts, I am honored. Dave Manley has gone ahead, designed and made and put together one of the most amazing figures, or what we call bobbleheads, I've ever seen. The detail is amazing. He did it for Chuck Liddell. He did it for Dan Henderson. And now I'm very honored to say it's my turn. Pre-sales are being had at MMABobblehead.com as we speak. But let's talk to the man himself. Let's get his motivation behind doing what he does, because honestly, this is the best I've ever seen. Let's bring on Dave Manley. Dave, how are you?
Great. Thanks, Bruce. That was a fantastic introduction. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's almost like Bruce does introductions for a living or something.
You know, one of these days I may get hired. I just keep auditioning all the time on It's Time Radio. What can I say?
Right.
Dave, you and I had the pleasure of meeting actually over a year ago, because there's a lot of work that goes behind these amazing bobbleheads that you're making. And for the benefit of our audience internationally, and I noticed that when the pre-orders are being taken, you're getting asked questions, can I buy it in Scotland? Can I get one in Australia? Can I get one in England? It's like, it's all there. So tell us about your motivation behind this, because you put a tremendous amount of time and a tremendous amount of money behind designing these. And it's obviously an effort of passion in your part. So give us a little dissertation on that, and then let's talk about why you chose me to be one of your bobbleheads.
Okay, thank you very much, Bruce. Yeah, so it's a two-part question you just asked. And, you know, so I'm a lifelong MMA fan. I've been an MMA fan for 25-plus years, and I've always found that the stuff that you can buy, when I say stuff like memorabilia and things like that, was never really personal for me. And one day I decided that I wanted to just buy, you know, something just to put on my desk or on my shelf in my office. And I decided to go with a Dan Henderson bobblehead. He's my favorite sports athlete of all time. And I thought, you know, I'll just put a Dan Henderson. It was an afterthought. And when I typed in Dan Henderson bobblehead in the computer, nothing came up. And I was like, what? How could that be? So, you know, I just moved on. I was a little disappointed. I moved on to Robbie Lawler bobblehead. I think at the time he was the UFC champion and maybe my second favorite fighter, and nothing came up. So my irritation kind of went to, I was angry. My blood started boiling because I felt like these guys are getting disrespected right, you know, right then and there. I started thinking about all the athletes from every sport, all these athletes that no one really even knows, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, they all have their own bobbleheads. And why doesn't, you know, the sport that I love the most, why don't they have bobbleheads for these great legends and warriors of the sport? So I just, you know, I thought, you know, I'm going to move on. My mission was to get a bobblehead, so I'm just going to go straight to the top because I want an MMA bobblehead. So I typed in Conor McGregor bobblehead, and nothing came up. And so when that happened, I leaned back in my chair in my office, and my blood boiling went to a heart full of inspiration. I got hit with a thunderbolt of inspiration. I've always been a very creative person. I've always been into art. I took art classes all the way up until I graduated from university, and I am a businessman by trade. My fiance has family in manufacturing. My passion for MMA, I thought, you know what? Can I do this? Can I make a bobblehead for these guys that need it more than all these other athletes? To be honored, you know, by a bobblehead. And then so when I decided to take that first initial step, then it grew to the questions that I had to, wait a minute, why do bobbleheads always look the same? Like the poses may be different, the uniforms may be a little bit different in all the different sports, but the guys, the athletes, always, the faces always look the same. So then I set out to, why can't I do some like high-end, high artistry craftsmanship and make these bobbleheads the right way with high level detail and art, and make them in poses of the fighters' moments of their glory of the UFC, moments in which any UFC or MMA fan would immediately know, like that's the Dan Henderson H-bomb UFC 100. That's Chuck Liddell scream. That's, you know, Bruce Buffer calling out to, you know, a big event. And so that's kind of how it all started. And then I, you know, there was no path for me to take, so I just kind of grabbed my machete and started making my own path. And it's been very, very difficult, but now the fruits of the labor are starting to pay off because it's starting to get a lot of fun. And now I'm talking to you on your show, so it's great.
It's really awesome. And, you know, the passion is in your voice. The passion is in what you do. I know you handle millions of dollars watching over the investment potential of your clients, and that's your main business. But I also know that you put a lot of money behind, you know, what you're doing here with the bobbleheads. Because I know, and I'm not going to mention on the air, but I know the kind of money it takes just to even come out with a sample for someone like me to approve. Now, years ago, Round 5 out of Canada made some very, very fine figures for UFC athletes, fighters, and people like myself. And those are really great. And to give you an example of the collector quality, back then, the limited edition model or bobblehead you're making for me is only 1,000 units on the first run. Now, there was 1,000 units run on the Round 5, and back then when they came out, they sold for in the area of $29.95. now signed on the web, and you can go to eBay and see it. People are selling these for $200 to $400. That's my figure. So there's collector value here when you're dealing with limited. But one thing I want to point out about the bobbleheads, all of us sports fans who have gone to a baseball park or, you know, over the years, we've seen bobbleheads. And quite frankly, Dave, they all suck. I mean, they're not good quality. They're usually just a plastic figure. Like you said, they look the same. The head bobbles way back and forth. Your bobble here is a type bobble. This is, I like to almost call this a figurine, because this is a work of art. It's like 7 inches tall. It's got weight to it. It's, if I'm not incorrect, it's hand-painted. And if you look at the one you did for me, the fight card, which is, I'm selling for charity benefit, my 227, UFC 227 fight cards from the other week that Dillashaw and Demetrius Johnson and everybody fought. And the card that you have there looks exactly like my card. What is the fight that's on that card? What card did you pick?
Yeah, so that's a lot that you said. And then just really, really quick before I get to the card, I do want to just quickly mention that every time you do go to the ballpark or pick up a bobblehead, just it's just woven into, like, you know, a sports fan's fiber and being that's just what we have to accept as the bobblehead, what they give us in the plain white box. And it's neither here or there. It is what it is. But, you know, they are kind of cool and they go on the mantle or the desk. And my big question was, why is it that we have to accept it like that? Why can't I take it to the atmosphere, bring it to the new school with high-end art? And you know, I'm glad that you did mention that. But as far as the card goes, so I have, when I deal with fighters and you know the process, I spend an extreme amount of time on the attention to detail. I'm laser focused on the detail. I want to honor the fighter, the person, as much as I possibly can. And, you know, when I first met you, Bruce, we sat down, we talked, well, what does Bruce see as, you know, you, what kind of suit do you want to wear? What kind of pose do you want to do? Let's talk outside the box and try to go for it. So when I made your bobblehead, I set myself up for failure. And when I say that, that means that I just set the bar so high for myself, because I was really stealing my oats at the time when I was making your bobblehead. I already had made about 5 or 6 really solid bobbleheads. And I thought, you know, for Bruce's bobblehead, I'm really going to go for it, because the suits are awesome. And, you know, he's got such great characteristics in the things that he has on his person that I can make in the bobblehead. Like, for example, the earpiece, the ring, the card. And so I really challenged myself and set myself up for failure. Like, in other words, if I didn't get the card just right, or if I didn't get the ring just right, well, close would be good enough and it would still be great. So for the card, it's the Chris Weidman Anderson Silva card, number 1, the first fight. So if you squint your eyes really good or get a magnifying glass, you can see their stats, a 6'2", 185, and you can see your markings and all that stuff. And I'm really proud of that card. But I'm more proud of when I first met you, Bruce, at your table. I was commenting on your family ring that I've never even noticed that you had on TV. It has a big B on it. And you told me the story how you honored your father with that ring. And it really touched me. I really loved that ring. So I told myself, you know what? I'm going to surprise Bruce. And I'm really going to try to get that B ring on his bobblehead. It took me about 8 or 9 tries, but I finally nailed it, and it came on the bobblehead. It looks gorgeous, and you can really tell, and along with your earpiece, your pocket square, your suits flowing up, and, you know, the face that you're making. I'm really, really proud of this bobblehead. You know, people ask me, what's your favorite bobblehead that you've made so far? And it's like kind of like picking a favorite child. I hate to say it, but, you know, I know for sure, and I think all the other guys that I've made the bobbleheads for can agree with me that this Bruce Buffer bobblehead is by far the best one I've ever made.
I'm honored. I truly am, because number 1, in our contract, I get a certain number. But you know, I'm buying about 50 of these things, because Christmas is coming around, the family, my kids, you know, the whole bit. There's a lot to do here. But another reason that I'm going to buy a batch too is, again, I truly believe in the future collectible value. Now, it goes past the point of the quality of the bobblehead. The packaging alone, the box that you make for your bobbleheads. TJ, he puts a handwritten letter in there, whether it's Dan Henderson, Chuck Waddell, or me. There are signatures in there, certificate of authenticity. The box itself is a work of art. I have never seen this kind of care put into any kind of toy or collectible from the outside to the inside. And that says a lot for you, Dave. That's why the pre-sales that are being done at MMABobblehead.com right now, if I'm not incorrect, and correct me if I'm wrong, the bobblehead will sell for $49.95 when it's released at the end of the month. The pre-sale, you can buy it for $39.95. Now, you're coming over to my office, and I'm going to sign how many? About 150 signed bobbleheads? Is that
yeah,
correct?
We're going to sign 150, and then that will be it. And then if you are a lucky one to purchase the 150, you're going to get an additional certificate of authenticity with a photo of Bruce signing it. So if you don't buy an autographed one, it comes with a certificate of authenticity that has a number on it. The number is going to coincide with a sticker that's on the base of the bobblehead, and it's really, really thought out, and it's really high end. And like you said, I try to pay attention from the outside to the inside. So that's if you don't buy an autograph. And if you do buy an autograph one, you're going to get an additional certificate of authenticity along with a photo.
So let me go into the collectible aspect of this again. I know the resale market. I know that this will have resale on eBay and Amazon, where it's going to appear as months go past when it initially goes for sale. If you meet me at a show and you have me sign your bobblehead, that's one thing. That's great. But these 150 ones, what are you pre-selling those for at MMABobblehead.com?
Yeah, we have 150 only for $75. It's a steal. I mean, you can't go wrong by purchasing. I mean, if you're going to spend $50 on a regular one, yeah, you might as well just go the extra mile and buy the $75 pre-sale one at MMABobblehead.com.
Yeah, I agree. And again, I'm talking from a collectible standpoint. You know, this is how it works, guys. You look at the Topps UFC cards, you look at the round five figures made years ago. Now you're looking at something that the UFC does not produce. The UFC sells the Reebok signature wear and all of that, but they're not making action figures right now, and they haven't for years. These are the only action figures of UFC fighters and yours truly that are available on the market. That goes down to the basic economic theory that we talk about on It's Time Radio of supply and demand. These are future collectibles, and I look at these in an investment. And again, Dave, excuse me if I buy a ton of these, because that's what I'm going to do.
No, right? You're excused, Bruce. Can I mention one thing, Bruce, really quick about the process? Because you did bring up the box and how beautiful the box is. But Bruce isn't giving him enough credit, because what I pride myself on making these, not only are these handmade and hand-painted, every single one, they don't touch a machine, but I also pride myself on getting together with the fighter, in this case Bruce, and going over everything with him on how Bruce wants it, not how Dave Manley sees it, not how I think is going to look cool, but it's a total and a complete collaboration with the fighter, or in this case Bruce, from A to Z, and that includes the box. So when you do see the box, the Bruce Buffer box, it's not my idea. It was Bruce's idea. Let's go this path. No, maybe this path. Let's go this way. And then at the end of the day, we come up with a beautiful box that Bruce has his fingerprints all over. And as a fan and as a consumer, that's what I want. That's what motivates me to make something that I feel like others like me would want too. And that means buying something that, not just a t-shirt or a hat, more, you know, the guy maybe designed it, who knows, but purchasing something in which you know the person totally designed it from A to Z.
Very cool. And with that being said, before I let you go, I want to thank you sincerely. I want to remind our audience that to pre-buy, and also to get the Danny Henderson and the Chuck Waddell bobblehead figurines, you go to MMABobblehead.com. It's all right there. Now, I'm not going to let any cats out of the bag, Dave, but I know two or three of the new bobbleheads you're working on. Folks, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, all I'm going to tell you is, like me, you're going to want the whole set. When you see the next three that are coming out, it's going to blow you away. That's all I'm going to say, Dave. I had to tickle it.
Thank you, Bruce. I really do appreciate you saying that. And one last personal note, Bruce. You know, I want to just tell you I appreciate you so much, Bruce. You've been such a, you know, like a mentor to me. I've known you for a while now, and I really cherish the times that we speak on the phone, because not only are you a great announcer, you're wonderful at what you do, but you are a really, really intelligent person, and you're a motivating person. And like at the end of your podcast, you always talk about being a good role model for your center of influence and do your research and get on the path to be a winner. And guys like me, who I really appreciate that, Bruce. I really do. And I think there's a lot of other people who do as well.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. I'm honored by your words. And of course, you can hire me by going to brucebuffer.com and hire me to motivationally speak to your company, your employees, or at your local birthday party. Just kidding around, but half serious. I love motivating people to be the best they can be, because that's what allows and motivates me to be the best I can be. It's a give and take karmic experience in life. Thank you for recognizing that. And thank you so much for your kind words.
Yeah. It's not just saying, you know, motivating, being the best, but you give like specific steps, you know, do your research, take the best foot forward, you know, specific things like that. So yeah, Bruce, you're an awesome guy.
Well, my mom thinks so and you think so. So my Wednesday's made. I'm happy. I'm good. Thanks very much, Dave. I appreciate it. Listen, my friend, I will see you soon. We've got a lot of bobbleheads to sign. I will tell you the creepiest thing I ever saw was that box of heads, of just a bobblehead, unpainted heads in a box, about a hundreds up my
that is
my face.
Look at, that is pretty creepy. And yeah, August 25th, I'm going to be up in your home office, and we're going to go live with the signings, by the way. So if you're on Bruce's Instagram account, you're going to log in at that time, and we're going to maybe do some personalized autographing too. So, you know, I'll announce it again. I'm sure Bruce will. But on August 25th, we're going to do a live signing of all the bobbleheads, and we're going to ship them out the very next business day after that. So August 25th, make sure you guys tune into Bruce's Instagram account.
Thanks for that, Dave. I look forward to August 25th. You have a great day, a great week. Go make money for all those clients you have, because the millions can keep going up as long as the tariffs are not hitting us too hard.
Tariffs are killing everyone.
I'm sure they're killing you a little bit, my friend. You know, they hit you right in the middle.
They are. They are. Yeah. They're killing a lot of people. Minimum 10% across the board. Not fun.
Wow. And well, let's get off the negative note, stay on the positive note. Everybody, MMABobblehead.com. Check it out. Dave,
thanks
so much.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks, TJ. I appreciate it, guys.
See ya.
Take care, my friend.
Okay, bye-bye.
What a manly man.
You know, I deal with a lot of people, TJ. Obviously, we all do. And I do business with a lot of people. I was taken with his business acumen, his passion. I could not deny his skills. And it's just something I had to become a part of. You know, but I'm going to tell you again, the next three he comes out with are going to blow your mind when you see who they are and what they are. So that's all I'm going to say. Let's move on to some news. We've got to talk about, you know, I love talking about good news, okay? But we have to talk about bad news first.
Wait, I thought you just said enough of the bad news. I thought we were on to the good news.
I can't, it's just...
Man, more bad news, but it always gets worse before it gets better. Isn't that a saying?
Yeah, exactly. And you want me, as you always kid with me, you know, end the show on a good note. So let me get the bad stuff out of the way at the start. Listen, everybody, I always say God bless you. And what I mean by that is that whoever your God is, whatever your religion is, I hope that you are blessed and your God does bless you. I mean that with complete and total respect. The article that I have seen this morning is very disturbing to me. There has been report details of sexual abuse by more than 300 priests in the Pennsylvania Catholic Church. We've all heard stories about these horrific type situations happening before. And of course, they even made a movie about it, which involved the church back east and a number of accused representatives for what they did. But in this case right here, a new grand jury report says that internal documents from six Catholic dioceses in Pennsylvania show that more than 300, what they term, quote, predator priests have been credibly accused of sexually abusing more than 1,000 child victims. They believe the real number of children, when they think about whose records were lost or who are afraid to ever come forward, is in the thousands, not just 1,000. This relates back to when you hear statistics on rape of females in different states and such as that. it's always many times been considered to be a small percentage of the actual number because people are afraid to come forward. The article also states the priests were raped. Now, this doesn't stand for all priests. These are the priests that were accused. Okay, but priests were accused of raping little boys and girls, and the men of God who were responsible for them not only did nothing, meaning the people above them in the church, they hid it all. So for decades, monsignors, auxiliary bishops, bishops, archbishops, cardinals have mostly been protected. Many, including some named in this report, have also been promoted since then. So the grand jury described the church's methods as like a playbook for concealing the truth. After the FBI agents, through a thorough investigation, identified a series of practices they found inside the diocese files. This story will unfold as things move on. It's very, very disturbing. The diocese, basically, the abuse goes back. How do I say this? It's a very lengthy report. It's investigating clergy sexual abuse dating back to 1947 in six dioceses located in Allentown, Erie, Greensburg, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, and Scranton, Pennsylvania. Two other dioceses in Philadelphia, where I grew up as a child, and Altoona Johnstown, have been the subjects for earlier grand jury reports. It's very extensive. It's very horrific. We will see how this come out. And if people did this, they need to pay for this. And whatever the legal law sets for. TJ, that's the smoothest way I can state this. I read this morning. I almost threw up my breakfast when I read it. I had to talk about it on the show today.
Yeah,
do you have any comments?
I mean, I understand wanting to get it off your chest when you read something like that. I mean, it goes back to what we talk about constantly on the show is you're questioning society. You're questioning the way that not a small group of people are moving, but, you know, an entire age of people, and for whatever reason, hundreds of people find it somewhat okay, or at least suppress the, I think, notion that we all know is wrong to prey on children, and they're going through with it anyway. It's hard for me to say anything other than the fact that children were preyed upon, and it disgusts me, and I hope that we become better.
Yes, I hope so too. And I'm going to encourage people, if they want to see what has already been written about, made a film about, but there is an Oscar-winning film called Spotlight that stars Michael Keaton, Mark Ruffalo, and Rachel McAdams. Take the time to watch this movie made in 2015, an Academy Award-winning film, okay? And this will give you a story based on the story that we're reporting today that occurred in the East Coast. Disturbing, yes, but it's something we cannot hide from. We need to know and observe, and we'll leave it at that. Any more comments, TJ?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, next up, A-Hole, not of the week, but of the year award. Now, TJ, I mentioned on a previous It's Time radio show just the other week that it was written about the fact that the fire, the horrific California fire, still blazing, was started by a flat tire with the rim creating sparks. But now, I guess that is not the case, because a man has been arrested in connection with the devastating wildfire in Southern California. He's a conspiracy theorist who posted videos of his satanic rituals, basically even stated this place is going to burn, which he allegedly texted a volunteer fire chief 2 weeks before the inferno enveloped Orange County, burning about 20,000 acres and destroying 12 homes. Excuse me, this is a separate fire. This isn't the one that's going on. It turned out that this guy, you know how you read about a small town?
You're talking about the Holy Jim fire, which I wake up every morning with ash in my car from it.
Yeah, so that's the one you're experiencing, right?
Yep.
All right, well, the one up north, they're still sticking with the flat tire theory, okay? This one is different. They've actually found the person. He's been arrested, and he was the kind of guy that was walking around that was that guy that you would see in a town, like weird, making weird notes, and everybody figured that at some point he was going to do something. Well, lo and behold, here's what happened. You know, TJ, people that are arrested for things like this, where animals die, God forbid human beings die, as well as the animals that pass from the horrific fire, people displaced from their homes, the vegetation, the mother nature, all the horrific things that fires cause. Man, to me, this is like life sentence, death penalty stuff. But what are you going to do with somebody like this? you know, when they cause such horrific stuff. I know the letter of the law will be put out. We'll see how this pans out. I just have to give kudos and credit to the investigators that it boggles my mind how a fire like this, they can go through everything and get down to the fact and find out how it started, much less who started it. So another horrific story. We'll see how it unfolds. Any comments?
No. I mean, this is just horrible stuff that I hope all goes away and everyone, you know, gets out safe. There's already been too many tragedies on both sides of this issue. And for anyone to incite something like this on purpose disgusts me. Again, it goes back to what we're talking about in the previous story. Like, where's the moral compass of human beings?
I don't know. It's broken. I don't know where it is. But in this case, it's broken. It ain't working. So it's inexplicable. All right, on to one more thing. Now, this is definitely one of the strangest things I've ever seen. You know, planes have been stolen, cars have been stolen. But did you see and hear the tape of the Seattle airport worker who crashed a stolen commercial plane?
I was following it live on Twitter.
Oh, you? Really?
When it was
really
happening, yeah. I subscribe to a Twitter handle that actually gives me live updates to my cell phone. It notifies me when they post things in a text message. And it's a Los Angeles-based chase alert. So whenever there's a high-speed chase, I like to know where it is going on. And because, you know, if you're out and about, you want to avoid those freeways if there's a standoff or anything like that. Well, they sent out a tweet that was notifying everyone that there was a situation going on where there was a plane in, you know, the Pacific Northwest that has been hijacked. And obviously, when you hear those terms, you kind of get, I mean, beyond scared and freaked out in this country. And I was following along and sort of seeing that this was a baggage employee for Alaska Airlines. And I've looked into this a lot because I think that this story is really a lot about mental health and how there's a stigma about it. And some people don't seek out the help and support that they need. And this gentleman, I can't remember his name. I think it's Richard Russell. He said it to the air traffic control because he's flying his plane around doing these insane stunts and whatnot. Essentially, to me, like knowing that he was going to die once he took this plane off the ground. During the ordeal, he's talking to the air traffic control person and basically says, you know, I'm just a broken guy. I'm a bit more broken than I thought I was.
Exactly. I'll give you the quote exactly, because to preface what you're saying, he was not a trained pilot.
No.
Supposedly claimed he played a lot of video games.
Right.
He was doing barrel rolls. He was doing full circles. Two F-15 fighters were following him, obviously prepared to shoot him down if they had to. During this exchange over the radio, the quote that he said, TJ, is, I've got a lot of people that care about me. It's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this. I would like to apologize to each and every one of them. Just a broken guy, got a few screws loose, I guess. Never really knew it until now.
Right.
And this is a man that worked at that airport. And again, didn't even have a pilot license. And he's flying a plane that's a 76-seat prop plane, doing the maneuvers he made, and eventually, of course, he crashed and died.
Right.
This is one of the strangest stories. We know that mental illness is a serious subject. We've had it affect with the school shootings, and God knows what other things take place, whether it's breaking the law or just moving through the streets. But this is the weirdest thing, or strangest thing, one of the strange things I have ever seen. And his family is absolutely devastated because, again, when people report about this, as his family said, they released a statement claiming that Richard Russell was a faithful husband, a loving son, and a good friend who was loved by everybody because he was kind and gentle to everyone he met. Now, you have to say, why wouldn't that be true? Because he didn't kill anybody. He didn't pick up a gun.
No, and he
constantly, mass shooting.
He constantly was apologizing to the air traffic controllers and people that were trying to help him, going, man, I hope this doesn't ruin your day. It's so casual. It was bizarre.
When you listen to it, as casual it was like a horror movie. It was like I was stunned. But again, he didn't hurt anyone else.
No, he didn't want to.
He didn't want to. He hurt and killed himself.
And I'm, you know, from the sounds of it, I can't be certain what was going on in his mind. But I think he put that plane down where he did to ensure that he didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
And the one thing that really stuck out to me, he said at one point during the ordeal, he says, you think this thing can do a barrel roll? I think I'm going to try to do a barrel roll and see how that works out and then just go nose down and call it a night. And wow. When you hear him say that, it sounds like he's detached from the situation. It sounds like he's playing a video game. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it's heart-wrenching to hear, especially when he, you know, apologizes to those people. And there are times where it sounds like he's considering trying to land the plane safely, but ultimately that wasn't what he wanted to do.
Probably went through a few indecision processes within his own mind until the final end, which took place. So anyway, crazy stuff, crazy week, even getting crazier as we step away from this. President Trump is back in the news. When is he not? He's in the news daily, whether it's positive, whether it's negative in some people's views. But I quoted last week, or I mentioned a couple of quotes last week from our president of the United States. This is another one I got to bring up. Okay, the firing of Omarosa, who was the lady that appeared on his Apprentice TV show when he was the host and producer of The Apprentice. She was released from the White House last December. The book, the tell-all book that she came out with, which has a lot of statements about the president, which I'm sure he's not very happy reading, whether they're true or not, that remains to be seen, because again, these are her words in her book. He made a statement on a tweet, one of his tweets, and I have to just read the statement, because he was one responsible for hiring her in the first place, partially or fully responsible. There is a class factor that all of us should have when we're either writing tweets, discussing on the radio, or doing whatever we do in life. That's just my opinion. I didn't find this to be a very classy tweet. No matter how he feels about Omarosa, no matter how he feels about her writing the book, there is a way to say things. And we get back to what we said last week. You have nothing nice to say, why say it at all, or say it in a way that's understood. But his tweet reads as follows. When you give a crazed, crying, lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it just didn't work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog. I would have written that in a different way. That's all I'm going to state on that.
Well, he's trying to be offensive.
Well, a lot of people are claiming that it's a sexist and racist remark, and it's caused a lot of fire in the news. Now, the Trump campaign is also taking legal steps against Omarosa. They file for arbitration accusing her. Her name is Omarosa Manigault Newman. She's come to UFCs all the time with her man Duncan, who, you know, passed away tragically. Great guy, jiu-jitsu practitioner, but she used to come to UFCs. That's where I first met her. So anyway, they claim the former campaign aide, a White House official, that she's breaching her 2016 non-disclosure agreement with the campaign. Now, there's a lot of question about these non-disclosure agreements, or NDAs as they're referred to, if they can stand up in court legally. But she, in the last week, has brought out tapes that she's made. She taped herself when she was being fired by General Kelly. She taped a conversation with President Donald Trump after she was fired, where he claimed that he had no idea about it, which I found to be very surprising. I don't see how he would have an idea about that. That's just a personal viewpoint. So now the lawsuits or potential lawsuits are going to fly. Let's see how her book sells. I'm sure she got millions of dollars in advances for this type of book. But again, President Trump, you're back in the news, not just for the good things you're doing, but for these other things people are questioning. Constant stuff. I really can't comment beyond that. I'm just reporting the news here. Now,
here's my thing, Buff. Like, the problem with this country and the problem with this situation, it illustrates exactly what the core issue is, in my opinion. And it is, no one does anything to really solve anything. Everyone has their own agenda, and they try to push their own agenda. And the way that they push it is by being aggressive, and the differences between approaches are either you're outright aggressive and you say highly insensitive things to elicit reaction, or you're passive aggressive and you try to quote unquote take a higher road while also being just as offensive. And the problem with that is it causes nothing but bickering and arguing and responding rather than ever progressing and moving forward with any situation, whether it be the recordings like this, whether it be personal interactions, or whether it be broad political agendas. No one has a conversation anymore. Everyone just talks. And unfortunately, they do so in the most aggressive or passive-aggressive way. But both, neither, if you will, are constructive.
Well put. We'll see how it pans out. But I'd be very interested to see how the sales of her book go as far as that. I'd be interested to know how – it's just interesting. I want to see how much interest there is in the public out there, because most of the younger generation either are or are not politically inclined. So this could go over their heads. So let's see how many people are paying attention to this. A couple other lawsuit issues that are happening. You know, Dana White always said, as a fighter, don't leave your fight in the hands of the judges. Finish the fight. I've said on the air, if ever there's a legal settlement, a lawsuit, if you can go to arbitration or take care of it before it goes to court, especially if you're the one being sued, it's smart to do that, because once it gets in the hand of the judges, you never know what can happen. Now, I'm not saying this is a rightful or wrongful settlement, but it is a rightful settlement in respect of the fact that it was handed down. The jurors gave $289 million settlement to a man who claims, who they say got cancer from Monsanto's Roundup weed killer. Now, Roundup weed killer is supposedly the most popular weed killer used in the world. So now a man who claimed to have received from the herbicide, they're claiming it caused non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. There were 800 patients that were suing Monsanto, claiming that this Roundup product gave them cancer, including, you know, spouses of their estates of patients who have passed. They're also sued, you know, for similar claims. But in this case, the jury, after 3 days of deliberation, the jury of the Superior Court of California awarded Johnson $250 million of punitive damages and $39 million of compensatory damages. It's not going to change the fact that Johnson's two sons are going to lose their dad soon, but it will help their sons live comfortably after their dad passes away. That's a big lawsuit. Johnson & Johnson just got hit with a major settlement, too. And now, the next lawsuit that occurred last week, Nike's stock actually went down after this was announced, but ex-employees are suing Nike. Four former female employees are suing Nike for what they claim alleged gender discrimination, according to a class action lawsuit that was filed last Thursday. So, early this year, 11 top executives were ousted after reports of harassment and bullying behavior, and now this follows with this lawsuit that's hitting Nike. We live in this age now, and these things have to be taken seriously. And again, nothing more to report on this, but we'll see how it all pans out. That's my lawsuit talk for the week. Now, on another subject here, 3 years ago, 3 to 4 years ago, I can't tell time, Michael Buffer, my legendary great announcer brother, and I were both hired at the same time to open up a big concert in Puerto Rico, sold out 3 days in a row, 75,000 people. And I had the pleasure of coming on stage and getting everybody excited and introducing Daddy Yankee to the stage. There's a little 6 degrees of separation. Daddy Yankee was the target of this really crazy hotel room heist in Spain. So a guy impersonating a rapper, and pardon me, I don't know many rappers, but named Despacito. I don't know how popular he is. He allegedly fooled the staff into opening Daddy Yankee's safe. And when they did, he stole $2 million in jewelry and cash from the safe. Can you imagine that? Boldly going in, impersonating another rapper. I have to see what this guy looks like.
Why do you have $2 million in jewelry in a hotel safe?
When I met Daddy Yankee, he's really cool, right? Okay. He is like Mr. T with the jewelry and the stuff. I mean, he had to have had hundreds of thousands of dollars of jewelry just on him when I met him. So let's say he's traveling around like Kim Kardashian with the famous Paris robbery that occurred and other people of his thing. He's on the road constantly, whether it's a Steve Aoki type or whatever, that are on the road constantly. So he obviously carries a lot of cash and a lot of jewelry with him. Crazy.
Yeah, so I don't understand I don't understand why you would have that much with you in a hotel room.
Well, he famously rocks big gold chains and diamonds, and that's exactly what was jacked. I'm telling you, it's just the jewelry he takes them that he wears and probably changes out. And cash-wise, wasn't a lot of cash. $2,500 of cash. Not a lot of cash.
Maybe I'm crazy here. Maybe people think I'm wrong. I just think it's highly irresponsible to have that much jewelry with you at one time.
I'll tell you what's highly irresponsible. is when it's your safe and your stuff in the safe and your own employees open the safe for somebody they don't know.
I'm with you. That's bad. And the hotel's going to be on the hook for the damages, I'm sure. But
excuse me, it was a hotel staff member, not his people.
No, but again, the hotel staff member is going to be on the hook for it, but or the hotel itself. But my point is this: why, like you said, it's your safe. If you're renting that room, really not your safe. All those safes have like a universal code that you can get into. I'd bring my own. If I've got $2 million in jewelry, I've got enough to bring a firebox that I can lock and have my own key to, and no one else can get in.
I find all this stuff crazy, like you're talking about too, because A, I don't let other people handle my money, and it blows me away when I hear about people, they give money to handle them, wind up stealing millions of dollars from them. B, a story like this, I mean, is there a point where you just have so much money that you don't take security moves to protect your money and to protect your belongings?
I don't think it comes down to the value of money. I think it comes down to just appreciating things. Like, I'm sure you have one of these. Do you have a custom IFB?
Yes, I carry two of them every show.
I will not let anyone touch my IFB. Not because it's custom made and it's expensive. I just don't want to lose the damn thing. And those things can be lost incredibly easily. And I probably treat my IFBs more carefully than Daddy Yankee does his $2 million jewelry.
Yeah, I understand that completely, because that's where the comfort of the show comes in, even for me too. And I can see you exactly. It's called being responsible.
Right. And that's what I think it comes down to. And it's not the dollar figure, I mean, is ancillary to all of this. It's the fact that you're willing essentially to be so reckless and careless with something that is so valuable. That's the issue.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, let's move on to another story here. This is kind of funny. Did you see that Mark Wahlberg movie where the true story about where he did the walk-on the practice field when Dick Vermeil allowed anybody to come train and he wound up playing for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah.
All right, well, here's a story that's kind of like the same but the opposite. There was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers, like every NFL team, are in training camp. And by the way, before I go into the story, Hard Knocks, the Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield, all that's going on in that. This is a very compelling season. The second show was this week. If you love football, and I highly recommend everybody watch Hard Knocks, just get a little behind-the-scenes action. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I believe they're going to win the Super Bowl again this year, but I'm going to be watching the Cleveland Browns, who came off a season where they didn't win a single game last year, and hope they have a successful season. Mayfield, if he winds up being the starting quarterback, I wish him all the best. I happened to have dinner with him at the LA Spectacular charity event a month ago at Snoop Dogg's compound. Found the man to be very cool, and I wish him and his team all the best. Compelling. Watch Hard Knocks. Now, Pittsburgh Steelers. A fan dressed up with yellow football pants, yellow Steelers jersey, wearing number 43, a number that hasn't been used by the team since 2015 because it's Troy Polamalu's retirement number and he retired. He walked on and luckily was spotted by the coaches, but he managed to get through onto the field through security and was going to go and try and train with the team. Now,
he wasn't really trying to train with the team. He was trying to have exactly what happened happen.
I correct myself and agree with you. He got on, he got noticed. Everybody wants to be famous for their split second or 15 seconds. In this case, half a second of fame. Wonder what's going to happen to him. Did he get arrested? That's the question.
I'm sure he's trespassing. They always arrest these people to try to set a standard that it's not acceptable.
Right.
The reason he got as far as he did is because he was kind of in shape. He kind of looked like he belonged there.
Oh, he's ripped. He's got the shirt's halfway up. You know, he's right. Six-pack. Oh, he looks like a football player.
Had he not had a Polamalu jersey on, if he would have had a number 64, I think he would have got further than he did.
Possibly so. A number more pertaining to position he looks like he would play.
Well, No. Not a position that looks like he would play. A number that didn't go, look, this is a retired number. Nobody wears this number ever again for the Steelers, not even in practice. So
yeah, not wearing a standout number. I got it.
Right. And because, we're still in the preseason. There are a ton of guys on a football team right now that are not going to make the team. You know what I mean? That they're going to get cut. Yeah. We've had one preseason game. So not everyone's face is all that recognizable. Not to mention, in football, I mean, there are a lot of people that call themselves pretty hardcore NFL fans that probably couldn't pick some of their players, favorite players, out of a lineup because they're used to seeing them play on the field with a big number and a helmet on their head. You know,
I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I'm saying change that number. We're talking this story in a completely different manner.
Well, I hope he enjoyed his 2 seconds of fame. He got on the field. Again, NFL season, I'm very excited. September 9th, first weekend. Can't wait. Of course, I never bet sports, but I do enjoy putting action on the football games I watch. And I did go 100% from beginning to end, from the playoffs to the Super Bowl. So let's see how I do this year. And we'll have the picks weekly, my top two picks, as we normally do. Moving on here, the Oscars, which is obviously a traditional ritual for the film community, something I've always enjoyed every year. They've added a new Oscar category. Now they're going to add, whether you might think this is kind of dumb or not, it is kind of meaningful, but basically is they're adding the popular film, in other words, the most popular film category to the Oscars. Now, how is that going to be judged? As an example, you have a film like Black Panther, which broke all records, might not be the critically acclaimed film to be nominated for the other Oscar categories, but like Titanic, The Lord of the Rings, Forrest Gump, that all ruled the box office in respective years and earned Best Picture awards, in this case, it could walk away with an Oscar because it's pretty much the highest grossing, most popular film of the year. I got no problem with that. What about you, TJ? It's kind of cool. It's like, hey, you were the most popular. Here's your Oscar. I'm fine with that. Are you?
I still think that you should win an Oscar on the craft of the work itself. You're judged by
argument.
Your peers, and they pick out the best film based on a different criteria than what moves the needle. It's an academy that picks those winners. You know what I mean? It's not a viewer's choice award. A viewer's choice award is exactly what you necessarily are. Exactly what you just said in this statement. If you walk away with the most money, like, well, we know what the best movie of the year was. I want to know what the best movie of the year was by people that are actually qualified to sort of make those arguments based on the traditional qualities that are viewed to be masterpieces. You know what I mean?
Well, I agree with you. But, you know, there's also the other side of the coin on why this came about, which has been mentioned. The motivation for the Academy of extending honors to the so-called popular films, they're hoping they're going to attract more viewers to the actual Oscars themselves. The most watched telecast in Oscar history was in 98 when Titanic won.
Right.
But last year's telecast hit an all-time low in ratings with 26.5 million viewers, which is still a hellacious amount of viewers, but it was a 20% drop from the previous year, which going the way they're going could dictate another 20% drop next year. So
you know what this sounds to me, Bruce? It sounds like they want to make the Academy Awards more like pro wrestling and just give the fans what they want.
It's a ratings move. It is a ratings move. The other change is set to take place, according to the Academy. They're going to have a stricter adherence to the three-hour telecast so it doesn't go over, which can cause a lot of people to turn it off. So I look at this as both a move to benefit, again, whatever the most popular film is, or do they judge it on the highest grossing? It's a question. Let's see how it comes out next year when they happen. But it's a ratings move. Going on, Baller started.
Real quick, that in itself destroys the whole purpose of the damn awards show.
No argument, because you're getting away from the artistic value voted by your peers
right.
to this, and I do agree with that.
There's an old saying, I don't know if you've heard it, I'm sure you have. Who do TV people make good TV for?
Other TV people and those 2,000 people that have Nielsen rating boxes sitting right. on top of their TV, which judge the whole rating system, 2,000 TV sets.
But for the most part, the finer points of television or film or radio or anything can really only be identified by people that know what they're looking at. You know what I mean? That's like saying, oh, we're going to do figure skating at the Olympics and we're just going to let the crowd pick the winners. Well, the crowd, they just bought a ticket. You don't know if they understand the difference between a triple axel and a whatever, you know what I mean? And I just think that when you sort of blur the line between credentialed critics and then just giving people what they want, it's really no longer all that special of a thing. Like, for example, we can bring this back to mixed martial arts. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm not making any insults here towards the UFC or any promoter for that matter. But if I wanted to draw the biggest pay-per-view buy I possibly could, I'm just going to try to get the most popular celebrities I can to fight one another in the octagon. And that's going to move the needle. You're not going to be able to tell me, though, that the winners of those fights are the best fighters in the world, even if they sold the most pay-per-views.
No, just drew the most ratings.
Right.
That's all.
So should those be the fighters of the year? Or should the best fighter in the world, based on their meshing of jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, and wrestling, be the best fighters in the world?
Yeah, good example for what you're saying. I'm with you. So let's see what happens. Let's see how the Oscars turn out next year. Moving on, one of my favorite shows is back on HBO.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching this
Ballers.
One. Yeah.
Ballers. Yeah, yeah. Do you like it?
So the second season I thought was a real big letdown. And then the third season I loved. And now one episode into season four, I'm loving it.
Yeah, I'm loving it too. I'm a huge Dwayne Johnson, The Rock fan, Dwayne The Rock Johnson fan. But this is a show by Peter Berg, huge UFC fan, the director of Mile 22 being released this week, actually, with Ronda Rousey and Mark Wahlberg. Wish him all the best on that one. I'm going to go check it out. So a really great show. Now, I had the pleasure of arranging for Michael Buffer to open up and introduce Aerosmith onto the stage in Las Vegas at one of their sold out concerts. One of my almost famous weekend. Aerosmith put us up at a beautiful hotel. We got to be with them during the rehearsal, with them afterwards. They're not the party animals they used to be, but it was an amazing experience for both Michael and I. Aerosmith now, with some of their band members literally being in the 70 range of age, are setting up shop in Sin City. Like a lot of people, whether it's Britney Spears or J-Lo, they are now going to set up residency and have ongoing concerts in Las Vegas. And I think this is really, really cool. I don't have any idea how many concerts, how often it'll be, but they said the group will kick off a Las Vegas residency at the MGM, the past home of UFC fights before the T-Mobile Center was put together.
Right.
Looking forward to it.
To me, a lot of people sort of talk about, like, oh, Las Vegas, where old bands or old acts go to sort of die and go out to pasture. When you get a residency, though, especially when you're a legendary group like some of the ones that you just mentioned, I think that is so neat, because when these bands go on tour, they don't hit every stop that you would want them to, just because it takes a lot. I mean, you travel a lot, and you don't travel the way that bands do. Going on, I mean, think about if you were on tour the way that these bands are for months at a time, where you would never get on a plane. You're just going from town to town on a bus.
So think about, again, do a UFC comparison. The octagon, the truck,
right?
The gear, the crew.
Yeah.
They're constantly on the road.
Right.
Think about if we only did shows in Las Vegas, how much easier it'd be.
Right. And also, too, when it's in one area, you can argue, well, they're never going to come to your town if they're in one area. Yes, that is true, but it's much easier for people to plan out a trip to go see them in Las Vegas if they're there for 6, 8, 10, 12 months at a time. You can plan it. You can do so accordingly.
It's Las Vegas. Every adult winds up in Vegas, or majority of adults wind up in Vegas at some point in time. So you're right. Easy trip to plan. So good luck. Good luck to Aerosmith. I know Steven Tyler, ran into him recently in an airport. He's always a great guy. He's always enjoyable. He even said he wanted me to introduce him at one point. So let's see if I get a call to arms when I'm in Vegas one time. I definitely will get into contact with him when we have a big show in Vegas during the time they're there. With that being said, in the collectible end, I know I talk about cards. I know I talk about PSA graded and GAI graded cards and unopened wax packs. I'm going to give you another example of an investment. This is an expensive one, but the return has been tremendous. 4 years ago, I bought a 1957 Topps wax pack, unopened, which contains cards of the great baseball players like Roberto Clemente, Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays. Who knows what's in there? It could be a total gold mine. I paid $2,700 for a grade 8 GAI graded wax pack. A wax pack was just sold for $5,700 that was graded 6. So that basically means that in 4 years, what I tell you, if you buy correctly, that your packs and cards could double in value if you buy the right ones that are graded. Here is a perfect example that in 4 years on a large investment of $2,700 has now returned over 100%. Because I know if I put the pack that I own of this on eBay, it will sell within 1 week. It will not sell. It will sell. That's what we call gold bricks. So again, everybody out there, if you have cards pre-1975, baseball, basketball, football, hockey, they're all valuable because there's only so much, again, back to the economic theory of supply and demand. Here's another example for you, just like I gave you my example of the Mickey Mantle 1955 card we talked about a few weeks ago. So just a little tidbit there. All right, TJ, I want to sign off. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
No, I mean, nothing really going on for me right now. So, yeah, it's kind of that. I mean, my son's back in school, so summer's like, quote unquote, officially over if you're coming at it from the kid's point of view. But I feel like we're in those like lasting little days of summer. The days are nice and long. The sun's up early. It goes down late. I'm loving life right now.
Great time of year, and Henry and Rupert and Kristen and Chris, they all got back from Kauai from an 11-day vacation, and they got back Sunday, and Rupert went right back to school on Tuesday. Henry's lucky. He's got another 2 weeks. He's starting, what is he starting? He's starting the eighth grade.
Dang.
So he's in the eighth grade now. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's the eighth grade, yes. So kids are growing fast. All right, everybody, thank you for your voiceover and recording and video and audio requests that have been coming in through brucebuffer.com. I think I mentioned last week, but since the Stipe Miocic baby birth audio went out, which I sent to him personally, TJ, I'm not just getting requests for babies, but now I'm getting requests for babies that are about to be born 3 months from now. They want pre-birth requests.
I mean, that's the best gender reveal I could think of.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's very, very cool. So keep them coming in, folks. We love doing them here at brucebuffer.com. Everybody, treat everybody around you with respect. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Be a role model to your sphere of influence. Set your goals. Learn about them. Write them down. Get as much knowledge as possible. So when you set foot on that pathway to fulfill your goals, you can be the best you can be and do the best job you can do. That is what winning is all about. I wish you all the best. Life is about winning. That's what we talk about on It's Time Radio. We'll talk about it more next week when we're back. Have a great week, everybody. Buffer out.
The preceding podcast was a TJ DeSantis production. Comments, questions, and inquiries can be directed to DeSantisProd@gmail.com.
Toyota's Labor Day sales event is ending soon. Save big with 0% APR on 13 of Toyota's top-selling models like RAV4, Camry, and Corolla. Don't wait. Toyota's Labor Day sales event ends Monday. Toyota, let's go places. Click the banner or visit buyatoyota.com.
Total Wine & More announces points with a purpose. Now through September 13th, collect 5x points on wines and spirits. Points earned equals a matching donation to local charities. Up to $2 million in total. Shop with us today or visit TotalWine.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.